Okay. Here we are. Welcome back. We have a lot to do this hour, a lot of information for you. And just to let me repeat, if I can, after I say hello to Erica, what we talked about a little bit last time, we need to underscore that. Welcome back, partner.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you.
Okay. There is a it's kind of like a new phase in a war. They, the control grid, the control matrix, the control mechanism, has really unloaded now, and they are in full combat against what we have worked for nearly 2 years to establish, and others, to help you understand that the spike protein and the mRNA are it. That's what counts. There are other things, but not like we're hearing. And I got a letter from somebody. I will not mention any names. This person has someone who, I guess, commands some respect and attention. And this guy has bought it, the bullshit, hook, line, and sinker. And I'm just going to read this one little part. And it'll be self-explanatory, but I am so sorry for people who are just throwing everything logical and pragmatic in the trash and buying onto these new tactics, these semantic games of playing with words and creating new expressions and literally creating new things that don't exist. All right, anything you want to add to that before I read this?
No, go ahead. Right into it.
This fellow, and they're both on the same page, wrote to his friend, and he says, "Oh, my word. The following information is the mother of all information that has come out of the fake COVID virus pandemic. Oh, my word. The following information is the mother of all information that has come out of the fake COVID virus pandemic. You will discover it has all been..." Oh, no, no, no. I got to start that again. "You will discover it has all along, the whole time, been a parasitic AI self-replicating parasite operating system injected in COVID-19 bioweapon along with the radioactive hydrogel and graphene oxide as a nanoweapon for human execution." Now, this poor guy, he actually believes this crap. And all it is a very piss-poor job at assembling terms and words and putting some new things in there. It goes back to what Kingston said a couple weeks ago on Beef Stew's Diner. She said that there is no such thing as a spike protein. It is, in fact, a biological AI parasite. Okay, now this guy bought it. Let me finish. In fact, I'm going to do that again. I want you to understand how easy it is for the controllers who own the media to completely divert otherwise intelligent people into the trash can. "Oh, my word. The following information is the mother of all information that has come out on the fake COVID virus pandemic." Yeah, it's a fake pandemic. Okay. "You will discover it has all along been a parasitic AI self-replicating," I could put in there self-assembling, "parasite operating system, an OS, injected in COVID-19 bioweapons along with the radioactive hydrogels and graphene oxide as a nanoweapon for human execution. I will not go any further because I want you to be enlightened by all of the evidence presented by Karen Kingston, a superb researcher, and Dr. Lee Merritt, a supporter of Karen Kingston. You will also learn from Dr. Merritt how to use the various treatments to help effectively remove this toxin from your system, and with the same meds, Karen Kingston mentions. And I'm sure you could probably get all these at Butch Merritt's Superstore. No problem. She's got it all. I think it was over 100 items. So KK and Merritt are now the new gods and goddesses. You take your pick about who's who. So this guy wrote this, and it goes on from there, and I don't even know how to begin to handle that. If now the spike protein and the mRNA carrier have been reduced to and expanded upon a parasitic AI self-replicating parasite operating system injected in COVID-19 bioweapon along with the radioactive hydrogel and graphene oxide as a nanoweapon for human execution. Now, if that's not a mouthful of word salad, I don't know what is. Okay? It's grim. And this kind of thinking, if it is thinking, it's actually memorization and regurgitation, that's what it is absolutely what the controllers thought. They love it. And they have no problem having the sheep chase their tails. Oh, sheep don't have tails. Having the sheep taste, well, never mind. Okay, the sheep are running all over the place. They don't have any cohesion. This is a mess. And this kind of stuff shows you the kind of war that is now being promulgated against logic and level-headed thinking. It's nuts.
Yeah, none of that is supported by anything that the researchers and scientists of some legitimacy are coming up with, and it does not match what we're seeing in people who have been poisoned with this. And it makes a mockery of these people now that are suffering horrifically from not only just the vax, but the shedding. The people that are being poisoned with this noxious protein, they're not being allowed to understand how it works. They're being denied that it even exists. So they're helpless to do anything to help themselves because they can't understand how they're being poisoned. So there's your alt media for you. The ones who are in prominence, the ones who are shouting the loudest, of course, appear to be the voice of truth, when in fact they're not.
Not in the least.
In fact, the people that are actually doing some serious research, making some legitimate contributions, are not being given a platform at all.
The German research group was a very interesting group, and I sent it over for posting last night. It is not up there yet, so I apologize. I will get it up there in the archive on the right side of the homepage. The German research group was composed of scientists, doctors, journalists even. They had a whole wide range of people who really dove into this whole graphene oxide thing and found nothing. It's not there. And yet that's all you hear now. It's the graphene oxide. The graphene oxide will kill you. The graphene oxide will change your sex from male to female. The graphene oxide can do everything. That's what they're pushing. It's the most evil thing on the planet. No.
Yeah, and now it's being expanded with all this other nonsense, these nano micro robots and self-assembling this, that, and the other. No, they're amyloid clots. There's a scientific name for them. We know why they're forming.
Exactly. I don't know what kind of hope there is with this. We're up against a worldwide globalist owned mass media that is the same in every major so-called developed country, even the undeveloped countries that are involved with this. They're doing the same thing. And you've seen the videos of 40 or 50 affiliate television stations around the country where the cast, the readers, start reading verbatim the same script, word for word for word. They get their marching orders and they follow along, or else they're out the door. Yeah, it's all a script. It's a joke. So there you go. And we have worked very hard on this, especially Erica doing her research. We were the first program to explain how unbound iron caused by the spike protein destroys life. We were the first program in the world to broadcast a full explanation of the deadly prion-triggered amyloidosis and amyloid clots and plaques. It was truly an horrific revelation. We were also the first program to reveal who really owns the bioweapon vaccines. Force-released Pfizer documents show it's a DOD weapon. Department of Defense is not interested in the public health and welfare. It builds weapons, and it owns these shots. Understand that. Oh, the profits go to Pfizer and Moderna. Lots and lots of profits. What is it, $57 billion in the third quarter for Pfizer? I forget, something like that. Okay, well, that said, and we just, you know, it'd be nice. It's great to see the information that we put together out there and being picked up by others. We see it all the time. We catch little phrases. We catch things. It's great to know that the information that we think is important is being spread around, even by thieves and plagiarists. That's okay. That's fine. But now we have another issue to deal with, and that is the new bivalent booster shot. Tell us a little bit more about the bivalent booster shot and what's happening with it and why we are particularly concerned about it right now.
Well, this is the one that's a combination of two different spike proteins. There's the spike from the original Wuhan, which is extinct. It's no longer in circulation, so theoretically it's not really a concern, just like a flu virus that's no longer in circulation. So why they're still including that in any vaccine is a mystery. And then another spike, which comes from this Omicron variant or subvariant. So it's slightly different, has different features than the original spike protein, but the two of them are combined into this latest booster. And they're proving to be particularly toxic. And the reason for that is not entirely known. We could speculate that having two different types of spike might have some synergistic toxicity.
Right.
It may
Remember
be that
the Omicron portion has its own spike. It's a different spike.
It's
we
a different
don't know
spike.
What they put. It's a synthetic protein which could have anything in it. And probably does.
So there may be some toxic synergistic effects, having the two different ones present at the same time. It may be that these people that are taking this booster, they've already had three or four shots already coding for the original spike, and maybe they're just very prolific producers of spike protein at this point. There may be something in this concoction that forces them to produce more of the protein. But both the people that are getting the shot seem to be suffering adverse events at a higher than usual rate. And the people that are the victims of shedding of these people who have gotten boosted are also saying that it's particularly noxious. Not like the shedding that they've experienced before. So there's definitely something different about it. It's more potent. It is making both parties sicker.
So we're hearing very intense response to this, and you need only be around people apparently for a very short period of time, or possibly even being around offices, other areas where people have been who have been shedding. Because we know that the spike can hang around, proteins can hang around. They're being shed by people through their skin, through their exhalations, and they can lay on horizontal surfaces. You can pick them up on doorknobs. You can pick them up on grocery cart handles. So we wear gloves in the store now. Just keep that in mind, okay? It's important.
And let's not forget that the spike protein itself is designed to be allergenic. So theoretically, if you have enough exposure of this, at a certain point, you may become legitimately allergic to it.
Okay. So legitimately allergic. What does that mean?
Well, that means that when you're exposed to it,
Yeah.
Oh, you could break out in hives, or the worst would be you have an anaphylactic shock reaction. It does contain what's known as super antigenic sequences in it that are designed to provoke your immune system into a hyper-inflammatory response. And the one of note is the one that's Staphylococcus enterotoxin B, which is the same bacterial toxin that was responsible for toxic shock syndrome in women that were using superabsorbent tampons back in the 1980s. They were getting very sick and in some cases dying, and it was from the proliferation of this type of bacteria that was producing that toxin. So that toxin is known to be highly inflammatory to the point where you can go into this multi-system organ failure.
Multi-system organ failure.
So it's a noxious protein.
Mm-hmm.
There's no benefit to being exposed to it. A toxin is a toxin. And that's it. In addition to the iron dysregulation that it will cause, the blood clotting, the neurological problem. It is a neurotoxin, so it can affect your nervous system.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right, just a little quick opening for you, some things to think about. Nurse Anne is back with us tonight, as you know, if you've been with us for any length of time. She works in a very big city hospital in the New York City area. She understands what's going on. She's been a professional for over 35 years, and she is here to bring some more information. Every time she comes here, we learn more, we hear more. She was the first one to really make it clear that the blood of all the vaxxed was essentially black and went into a clot mode virtually the moment it was pulled out of the person via a needle. And when you stick it into the tube, the collection tube or collection vial, and get it down to the lab, it's often already clotted by the time it gets to the lab, which would be an amyloid process. I guess that's the way to state it. Would you call that an amyloid process, Erica?
Yeah, it's clotting in unnatural ways, it appears.
Right. Okay. Miss Anne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Erica.
Hi, Anne.
You got that Irish accent. I hear it. You still have it.
It keeps coming back. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a lovely accent. And so we're okay. We're still here doing the best we can. And tell us about you. How are you doing? Because you got sick for a while there. You worked around these people, and they are shedding. And if anybody could testify to shedding, several have on this program, you would be one of them. So what's going on with that?
Yeah,
what are you doing to try to protect yourself?
Well, the thing is I'm working on building my immune system up, with everything I can possibly take: selenium, zinc, vitamin D. I'm doing it all. I'm coming home and I'm literally washing my mouth, gargling with hydrogen peroxide, and cleaning out my nasal passageways with hydrogen peroxide. I do it faithfully after every shift. I do. I do feel more tired after I've worked my nights. There could be a combination of that. This is because it's night shift, but I seem to be more tired from those shifts. And I've only ever committed to doing the three shifts, whereas before I used to be able to do 40 hours, 60 hours. I can't seem to be able to do that now. And probably wouldn't be a good idea anyway. I treat every patient, everyone that I look at their charts, and if they have had the vaccine, I'm basically going in wearing all PPE gear. It's the only way I know for sure I won't be exposed. And in my whole entire last 2 to 3 weeks of working in the hospital, I came across one person that was not vaccinated at all. Just one.
One?
Everybody, one. One patient.
Gee.
That was it. I'm seeing vaccinations on mass scales of like we're at six now. There's a lot of patients coming in four, five, mm-hmm. six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's insane. It's just incredible how many vaccines these people are taking. And like so, one chart I reviewed, I did an audit on it just to see how many vaccines this woman has had over the course of a short period of time. And from April of this year, she's had Moderna, one Moderna, mm-hmm. three of the Pfizer, which I don't know why she ended up getting three, because she shouldn't have got that. But she got three Pfizers. And then she went and got the bivalent vaccine on October the 15th.
The booster.
And, yeah. So she's now at five.
Okay. All right. What are you seeing, what are you hearing about this new bivalent booster, which, by the way, was substituted for the traditional booster with no fanfare. They just took all the traditionals off, probably just trashed them, and put the new bivalent booster in there, which, again, is composed of the original Wuhan booster and now the new Omicron booster with its own apparent spike protein, synthetic kill weapon. So we've got double. Are you hearing anything about that booster causing particular trouble for some of the patients?
Well, it's the physicians are not discussing it with them, patients.
Wait. All right, hold on. Excuse me. The physicians are not discussing it with them. Are they getting the boosters in hospital when they go in?
Yes. Now, this is interesting because this wasn't happening before, but apparently last week when I worked, a pharmacy sent up a bivalent vaccine to one of the patients, and it happened to be my patient, and I was like, wait a second, I didn't think we were given these. And I thought this was kind of an outpatient type thing. And one of the nurses said, oh, yeah, I overheard one of the physicians in there saying, you need to make sure you're current on your vaccines. And so we're going to order one for you while you're here at the hospital. So they put in the order, and it came up on my shift. And of course, it has to be refrigerated right away, you know. So I was standing there like, oh, my gosh, you know. I was like, well, I'll put it in the fridge, but I won't be giving it to the patients. So I went in anyway, and I put it in the fridge. And then I hadn't seen the patient yet. I didn't know what was going on with her at this point, other than I knew she had had a spinal surgery. And so I went in, I was talking to her, and then I said, you know, I've been looking at your chart, and I'm confused. And she says, why are you confused? And I said, because you have had four vaccines already. Why would you need another vaccine at this point? If you're vaccinated, in theory, you should have immunity to whatever is going on. He goes, well, the doctor was saying that because I have all these pre-historical medical issues that he strongly advised that I take the vaccine. So I was like, well, that's kind of odd. It's still kind of odd to me. I go, because really you only have issues with, you know, a little bit of arthritis. You've got, you know, you had a fall, you had ended up with some surgery on your neck at one point, you're back here for a revision, and you threw a clot at one point, but that, and then I go, but the rest of your medical history is primarily psychological in nature, in that it's anxiety, bipolar, depression. I go,
right.
I can't see the justification for giving you another vaccine. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be the nurse that's going to give it to you. Maybe you'll have to talk to the next nurse who comes on shift. Maybe she can clarify what I'm not quite understanding. The patient says to me, she goes, do you think I should get it? And I said, honestly, no. I don't think you should get it.
Good.
But that's your decision.
You sticking your neck out doing that, talking to a patient, offering an opinion? Yes, you are.
Yeah. And I was like, because I had to tell her, this conversation is just between you and me. If you wanted to find out more about this, and if you were going to go ahead and go get it, let it be based on the next discussion you have with the next nurse. That's just
now, this woman has already had the first two shots and two boosters, and they were pushing her to get a third booster, the new bivalent booster.
Right. And there was no justification for it. I mean, she had a lot of ortho issues, for sure. But her primary issues were psychological. They were psych issues. She wasn't dealing with, it was unfortunate she had to have a spine surgery while she was there at the hospital. But again, that was a revision of an old injury. There's no justification for her to get this vaccine again. And I asked her, who's the physician? Because I wasn't there when this conversation took place, but who was the physician who was strongly advising you take this medication? She goes, I can't remember. They come in so fast. And this is true. They come in so fast, they might say their names, and then they're gone. And that's always the way. The patients have hardly any time to digest what's going on. I mean, I'm spending 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour in with my patients, when I leave,
you're the only one who's giving them.
It's on their part.
And you're the only one who's giving them a chance at informed consent.
Yeah. I say there's not enough studies out there to prove or disprove at this point, but because I have to put it out there. There's not enough studies out there to approve or disprove that this is something that you should be taking. But all I'm seeing based on the patients I've worked with in the past and what I see coming into the hospital, I don't recommend it because it seems to be very strongly correlated to the time they get patients get vaccinated to the time that they come in with severe injuries. And but again, it's your choice. She's an adult. She was 63 years of age. She was a young 63 years. But an intelligent woman.
It's not her choice. She, without you, she wouldn't have had a clue. And she's already been shot up four times, for goodness sake. She would have just taken the fifth one. We're getting stories.
Another interesting thing on her chart was really interesting. And this was the certain now. So the person that talked to her, that was the medical physician. She's been followed by medicine, and she's followed by surgery and whoever else they have to bring on board. So I looked at her chart and I saw she had gone and had a lumbar fusion done, and then they had gone in and did the procedure anteriorly, and they were planning to go posterior at a later date. So they took her down to surgery to do the posterior, and they had to abort the surgery. And this is what was put on her chart. It was verbatim. Due to undefined illness with metabolic acidosis, we're going to abort this surgery at this time, and we set her up for another date. So while she was at the hospital, she went into metabolic acidosis.
Interesting.
She was going in there for a lumbar fusion, say whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they go in, it's an anterior procedure, they go in through the spine and the back, but they couldn't do it for some reason. This was something that something that showed up in her blood work?
In her blood work, yeah. She was acidotic, which meant that she could potentially end up coding on us, and by coding meaning stop breathing.
Yes.
And possibly end up being ventilated and things like that. So because her numbers were so out of whack, they couldn't proceed with the surgery.
And I thought you were going to say that they were recommending.
She was because her surgery is canceled, but she was probably better off for it in the end.
I would think. A good chiropractor can do a lot. Erica, go ahead.
No, I don't have any comments, but metabolic acidosis is not uncommon with these things because, you know, of how deranged the energy pathway becomes following these shots.
Yeah, I mean, Erica, I saw an article, and because I was at the hospital, I saw an article where they were saying about some of the things that they're seeing neurological wise with patients coming in based on how recently they were vexed and how they present with the manifestations of, you know, neurologically what you're seeing. So they're saying that this is from a study that this is a person who sat in an office and probably wrote the thing. They're basing their information on, you know, somebody else giving it to them. But I actually would have agreed with this actual study where they actually said that you're seeing a lot of toxic metabolic encephalopathy, CVAs, which are strokes, seizures, and anoxic brain injury. And that's all true. We're seeing all of that. And to all of that, and then we're also seeing, they're saying it's related a lot to hypoxia, sepsis. We're seeing a lot of sepsis, which means there's a blood infection. Hypercoags are off, and then hyperinflation. So you're seeing hyperinflation related to the pneumonias, and you're seeing a lot of, you know, where there's just a lot of respiratory issues going on. You're seeing ARGs and that kind of thing. And then we're seeing encephalopathy. And again, they say, we can't explain why we're seeing this encephalopathy. Go back to the chart and see when the last shot was given. I guarantee you that's why you'll see it. I mean, it's amazing to me that they're so blatantly denying what's right in front of their faces.
Right.
Do you think it's deliberate, or do you think they really are ignorant?
Well, it's an interesting, great question, by the way. It's a great question, because I brought in a book. I bought Robert Kennedy's book, the real Anthony Fauci. I brought it in to the hospital, and I left it on the counter, right on the nurse's station. Not one nurse picked that book up. Not even as a matter of interest. Not one.
Wow.
So it's not ignorance. It's just they don't care.
Yeah.
The nurses, I don't think they care. And the ones that do care, they go above and beyond, and they're burnt out. They're spent. They're exhausted. The nurses who try to help, they're just... The industry is too big for us. The nurses, you know.
Now, we all remember
and a lot
that
of nurses
about.
Left.
All right. Well, about, I don't know, how long ago was it? 8 or 9 months ago, a year almost, that about one third of the professional healthcare workers, including nurses, of course, in hospitals, quit rather than take the death shot. They quit. So you were short staffed immediately. Now,
right.
I thought that at some point in time they begin to bring in. Especially Filipinos, and I guess you're getting some help now by way of new staff. Tell us about that.
We are, and guess what? I hate it when you're correct, but you're correct. That's exactly what happened.
We
are getting Filipino nurses. Yes, we have. But I will say one thing about them: they are fabulous. They're really good to the patients. They really are fabulous to work with. However,
I've heard
American
this.
Nurses were displaced because they stood behind their convictions. And actually, somebody brought it up. I don't know who it was. I was listening to a radio broadcast, and they actually said, they gave the number, and I think it's actually bigger than the number, but they actually said 34,000 health care nurses were displaced when they would not go along with the mandates. And that is, they gave, in, give, to give some perspective of that, that's a stadium full of people going to a Billy Joel concert. Now, trust me, I can say that's more than Billy Joel. There's a lot more than number. The number is quite small. It's actually bigger. It's bigger than a Billy Joel concert.
Well, how dare those nurses choose life over death? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I know. The audacity of it all.
Bravo. What amazes me, though, and think about it, two-thirds of them chose death over life, technically.
Yeah.
Or injury. And we still don't see a significant number of the injured getting better. They just get worse, as we've been saying, for almost 2 years. They keep getting worse.
I don't know, Jeff. I'm sorry. I don't know if you know, but... I don't know if I got to tell you, when we were in the peak of COVID, that claimed the pandemic had hit, and between 2019, the end of 2019 to 2020, they were so desperate for help. Units were being opened all over the place, but there was no nurses. So the nurses that were going through nursing school were ramped up rapidly to where they didn't have to finish their last, I can't believe this, but they didn't get to finish like their last semester. They basically put them through whatever courses was left to do in that particular semester and had them sit the state boards and allow them to pass. Now, I'm going to tell you, when any of them nurses try to go to Europe, or Ireland, or any of those countries, they will not be hired because they physically did not have enough credit hours from college to justify getting that registered nurse license in the first place. But that's a whole other issue out there. But they pushed some nurses through. They were all young. They were all inexperienced. And for the record, the last semester of most nursing programs, usually that's your critical care experience you're getting. So that's when you're working with the most highly acutely sickly patients. You're working in the ICUs and you're working in the cardiac step-down units and the surgical ICUs. And that's where you're supposed to be going. This is your rotation. This is what you're supposed to be. They missed that piece. So you're good. Those are the nurses. Some of the nurses you will end up being taken care of.
Okay.
If you end up in the hospital.
Here's the question: somebody's shot up. They've gotten sick. They've been injured. Whatever. They're having a crisis at home, and boy, are the EMT responses constant now. They're just rolling almost all the time. What is your advice to people? Go to the hospital or don't go to the hospital. Now, that's for the vaxxed. I'm also going to ask you, for the unvaxxed, go to the hospital or don't go to the hospital. Think about it. Tell me what you think. What are your thoughts?
It depends on the level of injury at the time when the EMS arrives. Like, if you're short of breath and you can't breathe and you're having an active heart attack, you don't have much choice in the matter.
Gotcha.
You're not going to be able to be set up for oxygen at home. They just can't do that. You'll have to go to the hospital. You don't have a choice. If it's a situation where it's a neurological, it could be critical too, because you could be having a bleed, a brain bleed, or you could end up having a massive clot that's just going to cause you to lose a limb. It's a real tough. I think at the end of the day, I don't think you have much of a choice. I think you have to go if it's that extreme. If the EMS is going out to your house.
How about the unvaxxed going into a hospital? how much risk are they putting themselves in?
Well, in the hospital I'm in, the rooms are privatized. So you're in the room by yourself. So that's a plus. You're not sharing a room.
Gotcha.
So not all hospitals operate like that. If you're going into a room where there's another person, that's a whole other thing. But if you're going into a hospital where the rooms are all private, then at least the only thing you have to worry about the most is the people who are coming in taking care of you. But the patients have the masks. And it's funny, actually. I see certain patients wear the mask while they're in the room talking to the physicians and things. And as soon as the physicians walk out the door, they'll take the mask off.
Mm-hmm. Well, anybody going into a hospital room for any length of time ought to take with them a very high-quality room air purifier in the room.
Yeah.
Because they're swishing that air up and down and around all through the HVAC system in the hospital, and there's stuff in that air. It's just like somebody breathing on you. It's coming out of the air conditioning vent, but it's being rotated around the hospital. It's not a full exchange.
Yeah, and the thing about it was that speaking to that about somebody who was called, the EMS was called on this one case, and I did take care of this guy, and this is a guy now, you're going to be floored when I tell you this, but so he did complain of chest pain and shortness of breath, but I wasn't there when he initially went into the hospital. He complained of chest pain and shortness of breath back in March of 2021. And he then went into a cardiac arrest. He had been vaccinated with Moderna, because I was back in his chart to look, back on March 13th of 2021. So and then the chest pain happened on the 21st of that month. So he went into a cardiac arrest. The EMS arrived at the house. He was in what they call a pulseless electrical activity, meaning it looked like he had rhythm, but he had no pulse. So it's a lethal rhythm. So he was down for a good probably 5 or 6 minutes. They did CPR on him for about 20 minutes, brought him back. The next day he went for an EEG, and they told the family he had an anoxic brain injury. He was down just a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up going into renal failure over the course of the hospitalization. He ended up on dialysis by the 30th of March of that year. And by the 31st, he was brought down to the OR, and he was given a trach and a PEG because they couldn't extubate him because he had been vented. And then... in the beginning of April, after all of this, they had palliative care come in and consult on the patient after all he had gone through.
Mm.
And then the family said no to palliative care. They said they wanted the hospital to continue. So that patient has been in that hospital since March of 2021.
Oh.
I kid you not.
Is this your hospital?
Yes.
He's been there that long?
He's been there, he's been there that long. They can't find a placement for him.
Have you seen this person?
Yeah, I took care of him. This is how I know about him. I took care of him. And just October 21st, he went to the OR for they did surgery. They were doing surgery on him because he wasn't able to, his bowels weren't moving. And they thought, that something else was going on. But it turned out that he just was really, really constipated. Ended up with a colostomy. Mm.
When in doubt, put a bag on him, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is this guy... does he know what he's been through? Is he still coherent?
Oh, no. This poor man doesn't even... Jeff, he doesn't respond at all. The man doesn't respond. He's just a person in a bed. He doesn't.
God.
He doesn't hear you. He doesn't probably know you're even in the room. Probably. He doesn't blink his eyes. He can't move his limbs.
Oh, geez. All right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, Anne, that you want to share with us that is new that we need to hear? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, I had another case that was a sort of an interesting one, too. And this one was odd. I will say this one was an odd one in that he's speaking to the different type of cancers you can get.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
This poor man, I met with this poor man, and when I was getting reports, the nurse was saying, be prepared, because half his face is gone. So I was like, oh, my goodness. So I went in, and I was looking. She goes, what they did is he ended up with a hard palate carcinoma. So they went in, and part of his mouth is gone, and his face. And then we were checking for a Doppler pulse on his cheeks, and because he had a flap that they did in surgery. I mean, this is insane. And I've never seen any of this. But I'm not surgical ICU most of the time. I was more medical. But anyway, so I go in, and I mean, the man's half his face is gone. He's like, it was almost like I was looking at, like, the guy from Phantom of the Opera, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, well, Halloween.
Yeah.
Horrors everywhere.
And it was the most oddest, strangest thing. I'd never heard of it before, never seen it. The doctors had said it was a very complicated surgery. He was in there for hours. And he's only 62. He was happily married with kids. His wife can't handle all of what's gone on, so she's in the middle of a divorce.
How many shots?
And then he had 3 shots.
All right.
I looked at the chart, and it goes right back to, got them all in September, and he was in our hospital getting surgery on 10/24.
Really? So just a month later, his cancer had broke out, and he was down for the count and under surgery already.
Yeah.
A month later.
And the thing about it is he can't eat now, so he's got a peg tube. He's got a trach.
This is not life. This is hideous. This is horrible. How many cancers are you seeing or hearing about? Are we still under this,
it's exploding.
This cascade of cancers?
Cascade of them. Yeah. It's affecting. There was another lady, she had breast cancer, but when they went into, they found a lump in her breast, and they found that it had metastasized. It was in her spine, it was in her liver. It was, it had gone everywhere.
Well, these people have AIDS. They have no immunological ability to stand up and fight it like most people do. What are the key hallmarks, Erica, of these people? What have they lost? P53, what else?
Oh, gosh. Just T cells. The
P53. In the cell itself, though, there's something else. What's the... I want to say ivermectin, but that isn't it. You know what I mean.
Oh, interferon.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, just all the checkpoints that would catch cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's multiple checkpoints along the way that could curtail cancerous cells. And, you've got inflammation that sets the stage for cancer. You've got low oxygen, high iron. Both of those favor cancer.
You see that. You see an awful lot of that in the oncology unit. I'm not there that much, but
dear friends, don't
there. That's what I'm seeing.
Don't take iron under any circumstances. Don't buy iron supplements. Don't buy cereal fortified with iron. Don't do it, especially if you've been shot up, or especially if you're around people who've been shot up. The iron is the key. Look on the right side of the homepage. Eric and I did a program on it at length, and you'll understand what's really going on here. And it's not AI biological parasite hydrogels, okay? That's all crap. It's lies, it's disinformation, and it's designed to keep you all confused. So pay close attention. You won't be lied to here. You won't be conned here.
When I was in the school in Kalmar Abbey, I did Latin. I studied Latin, which helped me through a lot of my medicals.
Yes.
And I remembered something came back to me. Corona actually means crown in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
That's it actually. And I think based on the cell shape, it has like a crown, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told, but I'm not sure. But I know corona is crown in Latin.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for being here. Thank you for being who you are and doing what you're doing. You're helping people who are helpless, and you're helping them at least live out their end times with dignity. And thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you, Anne. You're an angel.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure talking with both of you. Thanks.
Right, likewise.
We'll talk again.
Okay. Good night, Anne.
Good night. Bye-bye.
She is just a jewel. What a difference it can make to have someone who cares when you're in hospital. Thank God I've had brushes with that, and the kind ones make all the difference in the world. She is one of the best. Representing humankind. That's what she is. Anything you want to add to this? We kind of have to wrap it up here.
No, that's very insightful. So the battle continues.
Well, it's the disinformation battle that is particularly worrisome. This AI hydrogel biological synthetic parasite 5G crap. They're just doing it. It's not hard. When you own the media, it's not hard. They are confusing the hell out of people. And that's their game.
Well, and it is doing a huge disservice to enabling people to understand what's in these shots, what's it doing to people, and how they can legitimately take measures to protect themselves.
Right. Please look on the right side on the spike protein, prion amyloid bioweapon genocide. Look under there. First three programs are essential for anyone trying to figure this mess out. Take a look at those and many others. Okay, thank you. Talk soon. Great job.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with Mitch Henderson after this.